Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and would you turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I have to kind of come around full circle in this series of messages. I think this is number 14. That means it's been about 4 months. 3 months. 4 months. We've been doing this, and we started out with the verse that's up here on our banner at the beginning of last year. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I want to read chapter 42. I want to read the whole chapter for you one more time. And then I'll explain kind of where we're going here. Psalm 42, verse number 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And remember, the hart is like a deer. And again, it's like that song. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. Okay. It's talking about having a thirst. Ever been so thirsty that you just feel like you just need to do something to perk yourself up? You know, I mean, it's years ago, my dad, before he passed away, we were going down to visit him on a Friday night, and it was just a regular Friday night. And when we got there, they were loading my father into the ambulance, and he had kind of gotten out of sorts. He kind of was talking out of his mind and all kinds of things. We thought, well, this is it; it's all done. And so they put him in the ambulance and took him down to the hospital. And they put an IV in there, gave him some fluids, and he perked back up. That was it. That's all he needed. He just needed some fluids. And a lot of times they say older folks just don't get enough fluid. In fact, our body is a large percentage of it is water. And if you don't keep that replaced, you know, they say you should drink half of your, your weight in pounds, put it in ounces and drink half of that. So whatever your weight is in pounds, you drink half of that in ounces. And that's about how much water we're supposed to drink every day, just to replenish. I think I'd be running to the restroom all the time. But that's what you're supposed to drink to replenish what you lost. And because you need that. You know, in Psalm 23, it says he's going to lead us to the still waters and the green pastures, right? And it says he restoreth my soul. That word restoreth means to revive. It means to bring us back to life. He wants to give us good things. He wants to give us to the still waters, the clear water. And the fact is, that's what our body needs. But by the way, what our soul needs, it needs the water of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that water of life. And as my soul pants after the water brooks, so as a heart panteth after the water, so panteth my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my person pants. It knows it needs to drink from the living water. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Now, we thirst for a lot of things. I don't know about you, but I'm bad about this. I got to be careful with my kidney issue and so forth. But have you ever been out someplace, you're really thirsty, and said, I'm going to stop and get a Coke? You know, it quenches your thirst for about the amount of time that it's going over your tongue into your stomach. And as soon as you're done, you need another sip. Because it doesn't quench your thirst. It just makes it wet. It makes it cool. You know, I like a lot of ice. I like the straw. I have to hit the back of my throat. I'm always talking about Jen. I like it nice and ice cold. So it hits the back of my throat. And you feel like you're getting your thirst quenched, but you're not. That's why you got to have a large, and then an extra large, and then a super gulp. You know, and so you got to have, because you got to keep, you got, and you're, by this time all the carbonation, you're going, and you know, we thirst after things, and the thing is, the same thing goes with the world. We thirst after things in the world, but the fact is, there's a God-sized hole that only God can fill. And that's what we're really thirsty for, but we will try to satisfy that thirst with a lot of other things. He says, my soul thirsteth for God. By the way, not just any God, the living God. I don't want some fairy tale. I need the real thing. Now, I think there's a lot of people, I think even Christians, somehow they think, well, I've trusted Christ, I'm going to save him, I'm going to heaven. But I'm not so sure they really, I think there's some Christians who don't really believe that there's a living God that wants to fulfill that need of hope that we have. He says, when shall I come and appear before God? I want to see the living God. When am I going to get to see him face to face? Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The world is trying to convince you there is no God. And we start, after a while, we think we're the only one in the whole world that believes that there's a God. You go to work, well, I think I'm the only one who believes there's a God. I go here, I think I'm the only one who believes in God. And they're all putting, you know, you watch TV and you listen to the on the radio and you see the internet and you think, I'm probably the only one in the world that still believes in God. And it's stripping us of our hope. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. That says, I don't understand. I was in church on Sunday. I stood up and I sang the songs when they said to sing. I laughed at the preacher's jokes. I cried when he told a sad story. I mean, I sat there with everybody else. And yet I'm still... I'm not working. I kept holy day. What with them? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Verse 5. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. And of course, it's talking about past victories. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I feel like I'm going to drown in here. I feel like I can't keep my head above water. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now, that verse there is interesting. I don't think he's as much complaining to God that God's left him on that verse as he's asking God this. If you're my rock and you're my hope, then why don't I feel that way? What's stopping it? I think maybe he's starting to get honest with himself. Lord, what's between you and me that's stopping this from getting to me? The hope is not getting into my heart here. I should hope in God, but yet, you know, it seems like it's not happening, it's not working. But yet I know that you're my rock. Why does it feel like you've forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why is the enemy getting the best of me? Aren't I supposed to be victorious? Why am I not victorious? Is it God's fault? No, it's not God's fault. Verse 10. As with a sword, my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? So you know you want to hope in God. So where is he? So why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He says, there's my answer. I'm not hoping in God. That's why I feel like he's forgotten me. That's why I feel cast down. That's why there's turmoil on the inside. I know this, but am I doing this? Now, this morning, we've talked about all these kind of things here. I want to take a little bit of time here this morning, and I got one message today and one more, Lord willing, next week. And we're going to finish this, and we're going to move on to some new things here. I got some good things coming up in the new year, but this, you're not going to find a whole lot of new stuff here, but I want to pull this all together so it's not overwhelming. I simply want to preach on the results of hope. The results of hope. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for watching over us. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with our folks. A lot of folks are ill. Folks have been in and out of the hospital, all kinds of things going on for multiple reasons. And Lord, we ask you to deal with these things, and we put them in your hands. But Lord, today I want to help us, Lord, to understand your word. Help us to live in hope, to reside in hope, for it to be our countenance and our heart. So, Lord, I pray that you'll work in these things. We ask you, if there be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. So use us here, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in the last few weeks, we've seen the condition of depression. It is such a thing. We've seen the causes of depression. We've seen the cure for depression. And today I want to give you a hunger to seek the cure. I want you to see that there is hope for you to have hope. There's hope for you to have hope. Though we need to tend to our physical needs, such as getting the right nourishment, both physical and spiritual. We need to rest, both physical and spiritually, in God. And those who've been here, you know what I'm talking about. And though we need to get up and work physically and do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, the most important thing is for us to physically and actively get a good look at God in His Word until we can see Him in our heart. In other words, we need true hope in God. The cure for depression is hope in God. Depression is the lack of hope in the provisions of God. We forget that no matter whatever is ahead of us, God already knows all about it. Not only that, but since God is eternal, God is already in the future waiting for us to get there. The hope that we're looking for is not a false sense of security in our own abilities, but hope in the living and almighty Lord God of the universe. Listen, my hope is not my wife. My hope is not this church. My hope is not my job. My hope is not in my bank account. My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in anybody else. My hope needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's omniscient, omnipresent, eternal, unchanging God of the universe. Romans 4:18, it says that Abraham hoped against hope because he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. What was spoken? God says you're going to be the father of many nations. Yeah, but I'm 100 years old and my wife is 90, and you know the shop is all closed. How are we going to have kids? What are we going to do here? He says, I'll take care of that. You just keep moving. Why didn't he go home back to land of Ur? Because he stuck out. Because God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. If you go to the promised land, I'll make you a great nation. So he stayed there, hoping against hope. He says, so shall thy seed be. Become the father of many nations. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, but what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's hope. He said, consider not his own body. In other words, he said, yeah, but you got to have some sense here, Abraham. I mean, you're 100 years old. This is stupid. It's time to stop hoping. And I'll guarantee you there's been times in your life where people have inferred to you, they've kind of suggested, it's time to stop hoping. Where is your God? You believe in God, 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 this, God, that. Where's your God? We found that hope is, or at least involves, waiting. To be patient, to stay, to tarry, to trust, to not move away because you know that there is a confident expectation. Trusting God to do right even if it doesn't look right to us, or even if it looks impossible. Hope is trusting in God to the point of being willing to wait on God indefinitely. Romans 8:24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Hope is faith in action. Now, I understand that faith, you know, is action based on a promise or command of God. And so one of those actions that faith takes is hope. That action is waiting on God to do His work and keep His promises in His time and in His way. Hope comes from our belief in God and our willingness to trust God. Lack of faith will result in the lack of hope. Now, I know there's a lot of folks who don't like that. Say, well, don't tell me that I'm depressed because I don't have enough faith. But you've got to understand what faith is. It's not great faith. It can be just a little bit of faith in a great God. Doesn't matter how big the problem is, it's not bigger than God. It's got to be enough faith to make the move. That's all it has to be. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And if God wants you to move a mountain, and He says, here, I want you to move a mountain, but this is what you want you to do. I want you to go down to the mountain and say, move. Well, I'm not going to do that. Everybody's going to think I'm an idiot. So you don't even have enough faith to do that. Now, by the way, God's probably not telling you to go down home and move a mountain, just so you know. But faith is enough, just enough belief to take the step, and God takes it from there. It's not great faith. It can be minuscule faith in a great God. If my faith does not cause a change in my soul, a change in my outlook, and a change in my actions, then my faith is dead. Hope knows that God is right, even if it looks wrong. Hope hopes against all hope when things are hopeless. True hope hopes whether the circumstances appear to be changing in response to our hope or not. We say it's getting worse instead of better. That makes no difference. Yeah, but I'm further away from my answer. It must not be working. Listen, a lot of times God tries to get as far away from the answer as possible so that when He gives the answer, you know He did it. Now, today I want to take what we have learned and put it in a nice, neat package for us to hang on to. You spent 4 months worth of messages on this, and it can be a little overwhelming. And it's really not complicated. I just want to make sure we all understand the depth of what we've been saying. What I have to present today is the first of two concluding messages. And it's not so much new material as it is final focus, so we do not lose sight of the forest for the trees. Now, I want us to clearly know that what we're aiming for when we seek hope in the Lord. What I'm going to show you are real attributes of hope. These attributes are available to every Christian. These attributes are no more difficult for one person to have than other people to have, because hope does not come from within us. It comes from God. The Lord clearly wants everyone to have hope, and is yours to have, and to not receive it is really your own choice. Hope is yours for the taking, and you to acquire it as you build your faith in the Lord. The results of hoping in God. These are some of the blessings that we can expect in our lives when we hope in God. But that also means this. If these things are not showing up in our lives, then apparently we're not hoping in the Lord. I think there's an awful lot of people say, well, I hope in the Lord. I hope in the Lord. Oh, I absolutely believe. But these things aren't showing up in their life. Hope is an action of faith. It's going to show up in our life if it's real. You can say you have hope all you want, but if hope doesn't change the way you live, then you don't have hope. And so we're going to see some things that the Lord willing is going to want you to get that hope in Him. But maybe it may be a telltale sign that said, well, I thought I was hoping in Him, but apparently I'm not. There's some things I need to get right with God. Number one, if I'm hoping in God, there's going to be praise. There's going to be praise. Our verse says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The word praise Him is an interesting little word there. It basically means, I got to hand it to Him. That's really what it means. I didn't think He'd do it, but I got to hand it to Him. He did it. Got to hand it to Him. There it is. He did it. And he said, so what we're doing, we're confessing it's true. When we praise God, we're confessing that what He said is true. Now, I hate this, but there's a lot of Christians, of course, they don't want to lie. So they don't praise God because they can't honestly confess that what He says is true. Because they're not living by experience. They're living Christian life in theory. The Christian life is the just is to live by faith. If I have faith, I'm going to have hope. There's an awful lot of Christians who don't literally have hope because they literally do not have the faith that gives them that hope. And so they don't praise the Lord. If you're living by hope, you're going to praise the Lord. Praise is not normal during depression. Oh, there's people who say, well, praise the Lord. You know, I just feel like Job, but it'll be okay. Complaining is normal. Complaining that God's not living up to His name. Not living up to my expectation. Anger can be normal. We get angry as if God is blessing others but doesn't care enough for us to meet our needs. Why art thou cast down? Why do I feel like He's forsaken me? Well, maybe it's something on our side. So we just assume we're okay. If we're hoping in God, there's going to be praise. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be, how do you do it? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known. What's that mean? Everything's all right. The Lord's here. And then it says, watch this. It says, let a request be made with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now that just seems weird. But you know, when you pray to God, prayer and supplication, but you do so in thanksgiving, that is a sign that there's hope. For instance, every once in a while, you would think you pay $500 for a suit, the buttons should stay on. You know, and the hem should stay in. You know? And course, I don't usually pay that much. I usually wait till I've got a gift card or they're on sale or something. But they're supposed to be, you know, $500-$600 suits. Of course, I think they just do that. But you know how it is. Kohl's does that too. Everything is, you know, is twice as much, and they tell you how much is saved. You know. But anyway, but you pay all this money for a suit, and you expect it. Sure enough, a button will fall off. And I'll take my jacket off, and I'll hand it to Jan, and I say, "Can you put that button on for me?" And she says, "Yeah," and I say, "Thanks." Well, she hasn't done it yet. Oh, but I know she will. Because that's who she is. She's proven herself to me so many times. I knew that before I married her, who I was married. So I'll give it to her, and I'll say, "Thanks." That's what that verse is saying. Lord, I'll tell you what I need. I need our needs met. Thanks. What does that mean? He'll take care of it. I told him. Thanks. I've told this. You know, this made me think about it. Some of you haven't heard this. Years ago, when we were in college, we didn't have any money, and my oldest son was 4 years old, and he had these dress shoes, and we would dress him up to go to church, and his feet grew. What nerve. And we were still jamming these little shoes on there, and his feet, they were so tight that these little round-toed shoes ended up being square in the end because he got his toes in there. And they hurt him, you know, and we said, "Well, we don't have anything else. We don't have any money." We didn't have any money to buy shoes. And this four-year-old says to his mother, "Well, why don't we pray for some?" So they got on their knees. I was at work, but at night I was working at night, and they got on their knees. And this was Monday, because he had been thinking about it all day on Monday, because he remembered on Sunday how his feet hurt all day, you know, and he wanted a new pair of shoes. So they prayed on Monday night that he could get a new pair of shoes. Tuesday morning, she goes to this little daycare. She was working in the kitchen, and this lady came up to her and says, "You know what? Would your son like to for a wedding? He wore them once, and he'll never wear them again, because we just don't. He'll just never go to any place where he needs them. And they're nice leather shoes, and they're a whole lot more expensive than we would have bought shoes for him. You know, they wear them out. I mean, they grow out before they wear them out. You know, but this nice pair of leather shoes, they were just a little bit bigger than he needed, which is the way you buy shoes for kids. You know, so would you like to have the shoes?" She said, "Well, yeah, I would." So Wednesday morning, the lady brings the shoes. So by the time we went to church on Wednesday night, he had new shoes. And, you know, in fact, when he got down, he got on his knees and he prayed and said, "Lord, I need a new pair of shoes. Thank you." And he got up and he went, cleaned his hand of the job, cleaned his hand of the problem. It wasn't his problem anymore. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Psalm 71 says, "Let them be confounded, consumed, that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." I'm just going to keep my hope in him. And you know what? My praise is going to get more and more and more. You know what I just did with that story? I praised him. That's what praise is. Confessing, God, I handed it to him. Look what he did. Number two, if I have true hope, I'm going to praise. Number two, it'll be the health of my countenance. The health of my countenance. I will have a different outlook on life, knowing the Lord is my deliverer. I wish I could remember the name of that old cartoon when I was a kid. There was a cartoon, and they were a bunch of, I don't know, elves or dwarfs or something. I don't know what they were. But there was one of them, and he always said, "We're all going to die." He was always, "Everything's going to happen. There's going to be a problem. We're all going to die." There's always one of them. That shouldn't be the Christian. I will have a good outlook on life, deliverance and victory and health of my presence. The word, it says, it's the health of my countenance. In verse 5, it says, it's the help of my countenance. It means it's my deliverer. It's the same basic word. It's something that's saved. It'll be the health of my face, if it will. It'll save my face from walking around with a bad countenance. I'm not going to be running around with a long face so long you throw it out the window and use it for a fire escape. You know the old story, the horse walks into the restaurant and the guy says, what's with the long face? You know, I mean, that's what we do. It's a long face. Why do Christians have a long face? If I can see God's face, it's going to help my face be in better shape. If I have hope, I shall not be cast down. Hope saves me from depression. I will be spared from a bitter and fearful demeanor and outlook on life. My personality will go from distraught and discouraged and depressed to delight. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, God can forgive you for that. I'm serious.
Well, if I started smiling, everybody would wonder what's wrong with me.
No, they'll be wondering what's right with you.
Well, I've never been like that.
Well, start. I just can't imagine Jesus walking around, well, I know where I'm headed. Oh, Lord. I just don't think he did. Now, he knew what was ahead, but he had hope. He knew his Father would not leave his soul in hell. His body would not see corruption. Listen, I don't want to go in the next low, and I'm not really looking forward to how I go. But I know when I go, I'm going to be better off on the other side.
Praise, health of my countenance. Number three, if I have hope, I'm going to have joy and peace. Joy and peace. Romans 15:13. If you're fast, you can go to it. But look what it says here. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, that is just chucked full. First of all, he's the God of hope. That's the source of hope. He's the God where hope comes from. It's not Zeus, you know. It's not government. It's not Biden. It's not Trump. He's the God of hope. He's the source of my hope. Nowhere else am I going to find hope. Now the God of our hope fill you with all joy. That word fill means to cram, literally, cram full. I mean, just cram it full. When I was a kid, living down in Hampstead, there was Hampstead's just a small town there south of Hanover, but a smaller town, and we've talked about it before, is a place called Snydersburg. Snydersburg is on Snydersburg Road. Now, that's about the only reason you know that Snydersburg has it, because you can pretty well go, and you never know it's there. It's one of the places where I have. Thank you for coming, and thank you for and come back again on the back side of the same, you know, just not that big. And there was a little place called Simmons Store. And it was kind of like your, you know, old version of a Wawa. You know, it's a little store. You go in, get whatever you need, get a little milk, and get some bread, and you know, like this. And Simmons sold ice cream, homemade ice cream. And it was all hand dipped and so forth. And so you could go in and get a cone, and of course they would give you a nice two big dips, you know. Well, you could also buy it and take it home. And you didn't need to buy a half a gallon. All you need to do was buy a quart. I'll tell you why. Because he had this little quart, you know, they kind of looked like Chinese takeout things, you know, a little flap, you know, a little rubber thing. Anyway, they would put ice cream in there. So he would put this on the top. He had this big old spoon, and he pulled it out there, and he put it in there, and he put it down in the bottom. And then he'd get another one, and he'd put it down there, and he'd slap it on the top of the freezer, make sure it all would go down. Then he put some more in there, and he put it down, push it down, and so forth. Then he'd get up there, and he'd push it down. And then when it got to the top, when the lid would close, he didn't stop. He just put another one on top of it. And then he'd kind of trying to hold it on there, trying to keep it from falling off. And the little flaps, they just kind of went, and that was it. They was full. I mean, you almost had a half a gallon of ice cream there. And then he takes some wax paper and put it on top, and then he wrap it up in newspaper, and then you take it home. He would cram that thing so full. You didn't just get what you deserved. You got more. The God of our hope shall fill you. Fill you. What? Watch. Shall fill you with all joy. Not just enough joy for you to get by, but enough joy it starts spilling over on everybody else. There's some people who work themselves up, plaster on their smile, and they say, I've got the joy of the Lord. But listen, if you really truly got a hope in God, it's not some plastered smile. So you fill it up, well, I think I got it pretty well full. It's pretty full. We'll close it out. Okay, I'll just say I'm full of joy. No. If God gives you the joy, you can't get the lid shut. You can't keep the lid shut. Now I'm kind of everybody has a different personality. My old pastor where I came from, I was talking about something one day, and I said, I'm kind of a nervous kind of fellow. And he says, you think? I always thought I was hiding it real well, but apparently not. I'm not talking about that. But there's people who are very quiet, but it just bubbles over. You know what I'm talking about? There's a joy that is there's a quiet joy. But watch this. This is interesting. He says, now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace. You know what that peace means? Quietness. I'm bubbling over, but there's a quietness. There's a calmness in the storm, and yet we're bubbling over. Sounds like a party boat. You know, it's kind of sailing the other, but there's a lot of party. You know what I mean? Just life is good, and yet there's a quietness down underneath. There's not that turmoil. And watch, it says, now the God of all hope fill you, cram you full with all joy and peace, cram into peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope. That word abound means to superabound. It means to have more than you can handle. I've got enough hope for me and you. Now this is going to sound really weird. I know this is going to sound weird. It sounded weird when I said it in early service, but it's the truth. I was saved at 11 years old, but I wasn't part of a church that really preached salvation. I knew it in my heart, and there was, the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and I had that peace, and I really did. But I never really heard people preach the gospel like you do in a lot of independent Baptist churches. And so I really never heard that, and it was hard for me to just share my gospel, the gospel with others. And the fact is, I knew that I was saved, and I was fine with that, but I was very hesitant to share the gospel because it's like, I know this is going to sound strange, but I thought, well, what if I'm wrong? I know I'm not. I knew in my heart I'm not right. But what if I say something wrong? What if I do? And so I just didn't say anything. I had hope for me. But the closer I got to him, the more I knew him, the more I spent time in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, and hope is an action of faith. As my faith grew, then the fact is that I have no problem now going up to somebody, and sometimes in the middle of crazy conversations, say, let me ask you a question. Got a crazy question for you. Do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? It's kind of like, whew, squirrel, where did that come from? You know what I mean? Well, I want to know. Because I hate to see you miss it. And so I have my hope now superabounds because I know that there's the answer, and I want you to know too. And I know the same hope I have, you can have. And so he says, so I'm going to have peace and joy, and it's going to superabound. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 162, it says, I rejoice at thy word, and one that findeth great spoil. And I hate a poor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 days, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing's going to make them stumble. Nothing's going to get them out of sorts. They're not going to lose their sweet demeanor. They're not going to lose their peace and their joy because something came along. Nothing will cause them to, because great peace have they which love thy law. We can listen. We all may have a bad day, but listen. Some people are having a hard life. And it goes on, it says, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I knew the Lord, you're going to take care of me, so I'm just going to do, I'm going to obey what you tell me to do. By the way, there's another sign of hoping. Do you just do what he actually says to do? If you're not doing what he said to do, then you're not hoping that he's true. You don't have a confident expectation in his word. Isaiah 26, 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I'm way behind. Number four, love. If I have true hope, I'm going to have love. You say, well, how's that work? Those that have hope can afford to love. A lot of people don't love because they're afraid they're going to miss out on something. I can't love them because I might need this. I can't give this away because I might need this. I don't want to do this. We get very selfish. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, okay? Listen, love is not depressed because love can handle life. Now, hang tight with me. Love does not see others as the enemy, but as victims of the enemy. And when I'm depressed, it is because I'm concentrating on me and my needs and my wants and what I think I'm missing in life. That's why we get depressed. I'm not getting what I want. What about me? But since we always have needs and wants and things we think we're missing, we will get wrapped up in ourselves and only see what we're missing, and we end up in a pity party of depression. But when I am full of the Holy Spirit, I will be full of love, and love thinks of others and not self-serving. So our focus is not on what we are missing out on, but on what I can do for somebody else. And I'm no longer as depressed. 1 Corinthians 13, charity or love suffers long, it's kind. Envieth not, vaunteth not itself, not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, here it is, hopeth all things. Love has a confident expectation to see the possibilities in others rather than just counting them off. Well, they're not doing anything for me. Can't get rid of them. Remember, love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. God does not cut others off from his side, and people may choose to turn their backs on the Lord, and he will release them and allow them to go their way, but the Lord does not throw you away, and so we should not be throwing folks away. We have hope that with God, nothing is impossible, even with that difficult person. If you love, you're not going to be worried about them. You'll be more about you. Be more concerned about them. I got to go quickly. Number five. If you have hope, there's no fainting. Now, I'm not talking about you get the papers. Now, I'm talking about, you just can't make it through the day. I'm just so overwhelmed. I got burned out. I just couldn't do it anymore. 9 times out of 10, it's not because we worked physically. It's because something is wearing on us mentally and emotionally. Depression can get so heavy that it can break us down and we fall and faint beneath the load. But God is our comfort and strength. God can do anything. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment passed over from my God? The people say, well, God doesn't care. He doesn't care about me. He didn't care what I'm thinking. He doesn't care what's going through my heart. So hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait to attach themselves, remember wait, attach themselves, bind themselves patiently, and expect. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We do not have to faint because God does not faint. You understand that? We don't have to faint because God does not faint. We don't have to get weary because God doesn't get weary. Hope doesn't give up. As long as there's God, there's hope. As long as hope only ceases to exist if God ceases to exist. And if God never gets weary, we don't have to get weary. If God never faints, we don't have to faint. We can have faith and not fainting. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And prayer is what? Utter dependence upon God. Hoping in him. Here you go, Lord. Thank you very much. Well, that load you were carrying, it's not on me anymore. Thank you very much. It's yours. Why should we pray? The Lord is our hope. If you do not pray to the Lord, then apparently the Lord's not your hope. You know what we do? We go down to the town hall. We go down to city hall, complain. What's that? There's our hope. We'll complain about this. We'll complain about that. We'll go down and talk to our boss about not having enough money. I need to get a raise. I'm not saying it's wrong to discuss that, but don't worry if you don't get it. My God shall supply all our needs according to the riches and glory. They're in here, so I won't say who they are. But it's not really bad. But just in case it would embarrass them. But we've had some folks who moved into the area, and they said, you know, if I knew that there was this many taxes in Pennsylvania, I wouldn't have moved here. I said, well, neither would me. I have either. But I didn't have a choice. God said, this is where you're going to go. And he called me to be here, the pastor of this church. And the fact is, I hate these taxes. Oh, my soul. It's amazing. It's amazing. We spend more in taxes here than we did in our mortgage in Maryland. That's the honest to goodness truth. And it just doesn't make any sense. But the fact is, God put me here. And he knew who was going to be making the tax decision. I mean, we practically rent him from the school district. That's who we rent our houses from. You know? But God put me here. Well, you can't live there because how are we going to provide? I don't know. That's God's problem because he's the one who put me there. No, I'm serious. He knows who's in charge. In fact, the Bible says he put them in charge. He let them get in charge. Probably to straighten us out, but, you know, here we are. But he still takes care of his own. And if God wants to spend his money on taxes, that's his business. But he's not running out. He could pay his taxes and everything else we need to do, too. There's no amens here. That's the truth. He can take care of us. The problem is we have with fainting is really a problem with faith. Can God take care of me? One last one, I'm going to be done. Number 6, blessed. Blessed. If I have hope, I'm going to be blessed. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed. What does that mean? Good things come to him. That's what it means. Good things come to him from God who trusts, who exercises confidence and even careless trust. Sweet abandon. Literally, that idea is in that word, careless trust. It's like cast all your care upon him for he cares for you. It means to care, to cast at his feet with abandon. In other words, you feel like you're being irresponsible when you say, Lord, here it is. Thank you. You feel like you're irresponsible. But if God is real, and he is, and if his word is true, and it is, then I can take it to him with thanksgiving and let my request be made known, and he'll give me a peace that passes understanding that will keep my heart, protect my heart, guard my heart. Now listen, if I'm living in a constant uproar, my bowels are in a churn all the time, I am not trusting him. unless you eat too much pizza and hot sauce. Then it might be something else. It is fruitless for us to lay awake all night, get up early, worrying about what's going on. God gives his beloved sleep. And if you're not getting it, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it as plain as I can. You're not trusting God. Your hope is in you and not in the Lord. And you're not getting the blessings you think you deserve. I'm not getting ahead. I'll tell you why, because you're too proud to trust God. You're too full of self, and you're trusting him, and God resists the proud. You want to get a tailwind behind you? You better start trusting. Humble yourself before God. Well, I am humbling. Do you have peace? What's your countenance like? Is there so much joy in your life that's bubbling over that just spills out all over everybody? Do we have these things or don't we have these things? Because we don't have these things, we're not yet hoping in him. And see, we're all waiting to say, well, when he makes everything good, then I'll hope. God came first. Trust him first. Blessed is the man. And he shall, what, this is going to sound familiar. It sounds very much like Psalm 1. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat cometh. He doesn't even pay attention when the hard times come. His joy is just as joyful as it was. It's just as running over as it always was. His peace is just as full as it always was. Doesn't matter what the pressure is. God's still in control. God's still in the control. Her leaf shall be green. In other words, you're going to keep flourishing away. Shall not be careful in the year of drought. No worries when the unfortunate times come. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Just keeps on producing what they do. Well, how do they just keep on doing it? Just kind of like the Energizer Bunny. Ying, 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 ying. Just keep on going. No, the power is the power of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people won't take that step. To sweet abandon. Here it is. You know what we do? We say, all right, Lord, there's my need. I gave it to him. I sure did. And I've been waiting on him. Yeah, I have. I've been waiting on him. Nothing yet. Lord, there's my need. We're fishing. We're fishing for an answer. He said, Lord, I'm going to do that. There's the need. Thanks. Now, I'm not saying be disrespectful, but you know what? What pleases him? Without, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I got to stop. The last part of this passage says, listen, the heart is deceitful above all things. It just said, my hope is in him. But the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now listen to me. I'm all done. You might think that you're hoping in the Lord, but our hearts can lie to us. The Lord will not lie to us. So if the Lord gives to each of us according to our ways, then we can see by our fruit if we're hoping in the Lord. With hope, there's praise, not complaining. With hope, there is health to our countenance, not a discouraged and a frowning demeanor. With hope, there is joy, not gloominess. With hope, there is peace and not a turmoil in our soul. With hope, there is love and not selfishness. With hope there is no fainting or falling, but we mount up with wings as eagles. With hope we enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and we're not experiencing the curse of the sin so much. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you living like this? Why are you living like this? Hope thou in God. Hope against all hope. If there appears to be no hope, then that's the real time to kick the hope in. Hope in God is the curse, is the cure for depression. But how do we come to that? Well, next time we meet, I want to help you build your hope. One more lesson, we'll do this. The results of hope. Are you getting those results? If you're not getting those results, then hope is not yet kicked in gear. And hope is an action of faith. Okay? And faith comes by hearing by the word of God, trust him.